Here we go.
Welcome to Good Morning Paranormal. Good Morning Paranormal is brought to you by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. With host Mike Baker from Crossroads Paranormal Radio and different radio host personalities from the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network lineup, we're bringing you the lighter side of the paranormal. Now that you've found us, kick back, relax, and enjoy for the next 2 hours. Good Morning Paranormal.
All right, good morning, and you are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And it is Monday, the start of a new work week, and I'm here with PC and Danny today. How are you guys doing?
Good morning, everyone. I'm doing great.
Good morning. I'm doing about as could be expected.
You know, we could come up with many new nicknames for you, PC.
I know, right?
But fortunate for you, Greg's not here, so he won't start them.
Oh, good. Goodness. Yay. Yeah, that would require a pain pill of a whole different sort.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would. So, and me, I'm working with a broken headset this morning. I had Danny come on, and I thought, oh, I got some problems here. The cats chewed through my headset cable, so the only thing I had left was a broken pair. And so I'm only really hearing in one ear, so it really kind of sounds very weird.
You poor thing.
So it's like I'm talking in circles, you know?
Yeah.
But it is Monday, and we're here, and it's going to be a busy, busy week. Last week was a killer. God, about kill me at work. We had to get ready for inventory and everything. But this week's going to be busy in a different way.
Yes, it is. I'm going to be.
Yes, you are.
Insanely busy this week.
Yes, yes. And PC, I've noticed that you guys are just kicking some butt over there at Parachallenge Radio.
Yeah, we're right up behind you again, Mike.
I know. I feel the breath on the back of my neck. And I see that Greg's finally starting to make some moves and stuff. So,
Yeah, he's coming up, too. I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
Keep saying, I'm going to get you.
That's great. That's great.
Said you go for it. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Bring it on. That's what we like. I hope all of us make it up there.
Yeah, that'd be great. I saw the show Good Morning Paranormal was way up there too.
Yeah, it comes and goes a little bit. I don't know. It still hasn't quite caught on, but you know, it's only like a month old, month and a half, maybe 2 months old. So
right.
There's still some time to get it out there and get things flowing. So not panicking too much, but yeah, it comes up and then it'll go back down, and so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's my next pet project. As soon as the meet and greet is done, I'm going to plan on doing a bunch of promotion and things like that for ASPRN and Good Morning Paranormal.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, this is your show.
My show. Yeah,
PC's got Parachallenge in this one, so this is your show, so bring it on. Yes. And PC, I don't know if you heard last night, and we were quite surprised again, and they didn't even realize it was time, but I got an email yesterday that CPR had been picked as one of the top 10 paranormal radio shows again at Haunted American Tours.
That is awesome. Yeah. I am so happy for you guys. And, I heard that last night between my moans and groans. Yeah, but I did hear it.
Yeah,
so, congratulations on that.
Like Chris said last night, it shocks us every time I get that email. The first year, I don't know if I talked about this before, but the first year I got this email, and I'm a little hesitant about clicking links in emails. And I got an email from someone, and all it had was a link in it. And I kept going back to the email. I close it, and I go about my business, and I bring that email back up, and I don't know what it was. And finally, I clicked on it one day, and it took me to there, and I thought, oh, my God, how the hell did we get on there? And And then same thing. I clicked it this time yesterday because it said congratulations, you made it again. So
wow.
I don't know who's voting for us. I don't know how we got on the list, but I know everyone from the CPR show is, you know, appreciates it and thanks everyone very much for that. And soon, hopefully, the whole top 10 will be ASPRN shows.
Ooh.
Although it is going to be hard to knock off Coast to Coast. You know, they're always number one.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, that'll be a major overtaking.
That's some ambition.
But that's what thrills us more than anything, is that we're even on a list with them. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Right.
So, but yeah, we're very happy with that. And I'm proud of you guys as well. You know, PC and Greg and you guys, like I said, your shows are coming up and making noise, and that's great.
Yeah, we make noise. Sometimes people like it, and sometimes they don't.
I know. That's just how it goes. And of course, then this is Danny's week to shine, of course.
You go, girl.
Oh, my week to be, like, sunk in everything that I have to do.
Yeah. What do you got? And what would you have to do this week? I thought you were going
to think. Right. This week is my main priority is to work on all of the media, the radio stations, the newspapers, hopefully a few reporters, things like that, and just trying to make as much noise as possible. I've got an army, and I'm not even kidding, an army of groups coming out and teams and authors and psychics and people who, you know, are going to be out there, you know, to show people a good time.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to have a really good showing from the public, but that's my job this week is just to make sure that we have an insane amount of public that come out.
I was going to say, this is your main week of the year, I think, it seems like anymore.
It is. It turns out that, you know, like for 6 weeks prior to the event, my life is nothing but the event, and then the week right before is insane because, you know, I've got to go to the store, I've got to, you know, get things printed out, I've got to get everything going, and just... It's just so overwhelming. I've made lists all over the place. You wouldn't even believe it.
Yeah. But then, you know, come Sunday morning when you wake up, you're thinking, oh, my God, that was awesome.
Oh, then, yeah.
Just like we
then
did last
then
year.
Now what do I do sets in?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? It's going to be bliss, though.
I know that, you know, last year, and if everything goes the way you keep thinking it's going to this year, we'll blow that away. But last year we were so floored with what we had and so exhausted Saturday. It really didn't kick in until Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, we went out to eat afterwards after we got everything packed up and went home and just kind of died. But then Sunday it's like, oh, my God, that was awesome, you know, have all them people. And then this year, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'll make it to work Monday.
I don't know, man. I had Ron take off Friday so we could go down earlier because I want to be there really, really stinking early.
Right.
And I'm thinking maybe he should have took Monday off too because we're just going to be so drained and exhausted.
I know. I thought the same thing. I took Friday as well, mostly because I work nights and I wanted to be able to get some sleep and get up early and be down there. Plus get the car packed up, you know, with all the equipment so I don't have to try to do that Saturday morning as well.
Right.
So... big day. Can't wait. Hope the weather cooperates.
I know. I've been watching the weather. That is the one thing that will pummel us is if it rains.
I know. And we've been fortunate for 3 years previous.
Yeah, I think we may have been lucky, but we'll see what happens.
So everybody out there, keep your fingers crossed.
I'm going to be out there rain or shine. I don't care.
Oh, yeah,
storm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there's enough cover, and most everyone has their, at least the ones that come, you know, the groups, they usually bring a, what do they call those things? Awning.
Yeah, they bring the awnings, they set those up over the tables. It's really nice. I mean, most people, I mean, you know, you have to really give it to ghost groups. They're really ingenious about, you know, their setups and stuff. They're gadget geeks, and they want to make sure that their electronical stuff is all,
I was going to say, it may put a little damper on the electronical part of it, but
that is fine as long as everybody's willing to bear out any rain that comes. Yeah, so I think we'll be okay. The good thing is that I made it kind of a short event on purpose, and that's a double-edged sword, because usually by the time everybody's done with the show or with the event, people are so ghost charged that all they want to do is ghost hunt afterwards.
Yeah.
And the good thing is that it's a short event, even though it doesn't feel like it afterwards. That, you know, you get out there, you set up, and by the time everything is set up and everybody's moving around, and there were just so many people there last year, and you just talk to so many people. And then, like I said, we had literally an army of reporters last year. So they came around and talked to everybody. You know, we had reporters from other towns. We had reporters from Indy Star. We had reporters with video cameras. We had video bloggers. We had, we made the Channel 6 news that night. I mean, just from talking with the public, the people who came in that were just kind of curious, and, you know, other groups that were there, and then reporters. I mean, you just talk to so many people.
All right, let me ask you this, and I hadn't thought about it before. Now, let's say, because it is a short event, it's only 4 hours. Let's say we get there in the morning and we are having some rain, but it's going to clear off in about an hour. Do we have the availability to bump our schedule from, like, if it's right now scheduled from 12 to 4, could we run it from 1 to 5 so that everyone still gets the 4 hours?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So there you go, people. Don't let the rain hold you back.
You know, the good thing is we have been so blessed. Allie and her staff at the Hanna House, they are donating the venue. They're giving us the land in this beautiful house to play with for the entire day. It normally costs you $400 minimum for a four-hour event at the Hanna House. They just offered up this house and said, you know, we would love to have your event here. We have this, this, and this available as resources. Would you please move it here? And we were like, oh, my God, that's huge. You know, we're a free event. We really don't have a budget. Is there any way that you could, you know, give it to us for free? And they're like, yes. So, I, you know, the first thing I do is I promote the fact that, you know, the Hanna House needs to make money. And they're always hurting for money, and they want to make, you know, necessary help on the house, and they need any kind of things that they need as far as donations and things like that. So I always want to point out the fact that they have totally given us this place to have this event.
Awesome, yeah. And I know they made out last year. They got more than enough volunteers for their annual haunted house in October. So that was a benefit for them as well.
Yeah, and they're going to have a booth set up to sign up for Hanna House overnight. The investigations, they're going to have also sign up for having volunteers come out and help with their fundraising events, which is their haunted houses that runs through, I think, the end of September through October. And they need people desperately to come out and help, even if it's just for one night or just a little bit. And they also, you know, it's a really cool place to investigate for an evening.
Yeah. Yeah.
They set out pizza, you know, to feed an army. They come out and give you this beautiful tour of this wonderful house and, you know, tell you all the stories of the sightings and everything. And then you can set up your equipment wherever, and you've got control of the house the entire night. It's really nice.
Awesome. Yeah. I can't wait, and it'll be here before you know it.
I mean, the good thing is also is we're going to have, I mean, so many different things going on this year. We're going to be set up in a different location. We're going to be set up in the house and then around the house. And we're going to have a few things going on inside the house. We may have a few psychics and things doing readings inside the house. We're going to be set up with CPR, you and Chris, on the front porch instead of the stage this year. And it's going to have a different feel this year. I mean, that, and on top of, we've got so many more people even just telling me. Like I was telling Ron, even just a quarter of these people show up, we're going to have a lot more than showed up last year.
Awesome, yeah. So we're going to be on the front porch, so I know I'm dry this year.
Yes. So there's going to be tours going through the Hanna House, which is nice. Last year, there was a line wrapped around the entire building the entire day, all 4 hours of the event, which blew me away. Like I've said in the past, I thought that they were leading the people in through the back, so I thought that the back was the line into the house for the tours.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw later on a picture from the house and then the side and then the back of the house, and I was like, that line wrapped around the house the entire day? Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, I know they were going, they had planned originally to run a tour every 15 minutes.
Right.
Well, it turned out they had so many that it was nonstop.
Nonstop throughout the entire day.
Yeah.
So I do know that Allie has a pretty big staff coming in of volunteers to help with the event so that they're not going to get bogged down. I know last year they just didn't have enough hands. So this year she's got her own staff coming in, volunteers, and they're going to help out with tours, and they're going to help out with us and anything that we need. There's definitely going to be electrical set up, hopefully as long as it doesn't rain. And we're going to have things going all over the place. There's going to be radio shows going on. They're going to be broadcasting live. There's going to be, like I said, vendors galore, psychics. There's going to be people selling books. There's going to be just different groups to talk to.
Yeah.
I know last year, every group that I talked to after, there wasn't a single group that I talked to that didn't come out with at least one investigation, if not more. And they also ended up with, if they were looking for members, they filled up their membership.
Very good. Yeah. I know we guided, you know, people would ask us, you know, hey, we're looking for a group. Excuse me. And we'd say, hey, go over to such and such, you know, figure out where they were from. Say, go talk
Absolutely.
To these people. And yeah, it was awesome. Really was.
So yeah, it's going to be exciting. I mean, this year we've got a huge list of, you know, guest speakers that are going to, or not guest speakers, but just special guests that are going to be walking around mm-hmm. talking to people. I mean, we've got Keith H. coming back. He always is great to talk to yeah. about all kinds of different things. And, you know, you've got him as a captive audience at this meet and greet. It's not a conference. It's not a place where you're expected to not really talk to these people. You're at an event where you're kind of supposed to talk to these people.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping any groups that have, you know, questions about, you know, either Keith H. or his group, or about how he's done things in the past, or what is he working on scientifically right. or whatever, what is this group working on? I'm hoping that, you know, people get out there and try and talk shop a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Dale Kazimarek coming out from Chicago, and he is an awesome resource to talk to about. We live close enough to even Indianapolis lives close enough to Chicago. There's some great ghost things going on in Chicago, and he is like one of the leading experts in Windy City ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote the book, literally. You've got Wanda Lou Willis coming out. She is getting ready to publish a brand new book. Ghost Hunting Indiana, America's Haunted Road Trip. So she's got that going. She may even have, I'm not sure if she's going to have copies of that, but I know she's going to have copies of her other books.
Right. I don't think that one's ready yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that one was ready yet, but she, of course, is going to have Haunted Hoosier Trails and more Haunted Hoosier
right.
Trails
mm-hmm.
out there with her. Rob Conover is going to be there.
Yep.
He's been on Everything and Anything, and a bunch of his cases have been, you know, on Sightings, The Unexplained, The World's Scariest Places, things like that.
Yeah.
Carrie Young and Lori Sankowski, authors of The Ghost Hunter's Guide to Indianapolis, which is an excellent guide for ghost hunters. It gives you insight as to different locations around Indianapolis, which is really nice. Gives you their background story. It's a great book. You're also going to have Jason Sullivan out there from Midwest Haunts, and he does the video series for Ghost Hunting yeah. 101, which, my personal opinion, I think it's very well done. I think yep. he's very well spoken.
Yeah, never for a loss of words.
Yeah, he gets out there, and he doesn't mess around. He tells you, you know, you need to do this and this so you don't look like an idiot. I don't have a problem with
right.
that.
No, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what he does.
Yeah. So then, you know, we've got two different conferences that are going to be donating $5 for
right.
every ticket sold to the Hannah House. if they're sold at the meet and greet, they're going to donate $5 a ticket.
Yeah, that is very cool.
Yeah, you've got the American Paranormal Conference, which is happening over in Fort Wayne, and then you've got the second annual Ghost Conference, who are donating $5 also, and that's up in Chicago. So that I'm excited about. I hope they sell tons of tickets just to get that donation to the Hanna House. That would be awesome.
Right, exactly.
So the generosity in the community, you know, is still there, and that excites me. That's great. I mean, yeah, it's already a great thing what you guys are putting together.
I think Indiana PC has, over the last, well, we'll say 4 years now, has really come together, don't you think, Danny?
Well, you know, it's funny.
For the most part.
I think for the most part, Indiana, I would venture to say, I'm going to go ahead and say it, probably has more networking teams working together in a nice way than probably any other state right now.
Oh, I would
now.
Think so. And I got to think that probably we've got more groups. My God, everywhere you go, somebody made a comment you couldn't throw a rock and not hit a paranormal group. And I'm sure that's very close to being reality here in Indiana.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing is that look 4 years ago. Just go back to 2006. And before Chris and I talked about starting up this event, there's no way you could have possibly gotten groups together. This idea would have been considered insane. And the first year, like I said, I was worried about people fighting. I was worried about people not talking. We were worried about, you know, groups getting there, seeing another group that's there, and then just turning around and leaving. And after the first 2 hours of the first meet and greet, there was so much ice that got broke from people being able to look another person in the eye, talk shop, and have a good time, and see that it's possible that we can respect each other's differences and, you know, network and work together. Find other groups that share your common interests and work with them, if you know, but also respect the other ones that are out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great thing, I think. And PC, you're going to miss it, lady.
I know. Yeah.
Next year, big number 5.
You know, like someone was just saying in the chat room, it's so important that we share our information. You know, like that's one of the things that I'm going to be pointing out is, you know, just don't go to these different booths and just look at what they've got. Talk to these people. Find out what they're working on. Find out, you know, what they do, how they do it, how they are different from you. What are they doing different that you're not doing? It's about our differences. It really is. If it's about what we're doing the same, that's not going to work. That's not helping anything, because whatever we're doing isn't working. I don't know anybody who's got the answers right now. So it's about what we're doing different and how we're being unique.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So that's my big push, is to try to get everybody out there to talk to other groups. And, you know, if you've got a booth set up, great. Don't just sit there all day. Go around and talk to everybody.
Right, right.
You know, of course, have somebody at your booth that can talk about your group and stuff. But get out there and talk shop with everybody. Everybody is so cool at this event that we all have such a good time.
Well, you know, I think one of the things this year that we're seeing is, you know, it's been a common thing now for Indiana groups, you know, every year come to Indianapolis in August and do the meet and greet and network and all that stuff. But this year now, we're really going to see a huge number of other states' teams coming in. I mean, we already know that we have groups from Ohio and Kentucky and Tennessee and Illinois and Michigan. So, I mean, there's 5 or 6 states that are going to be represented right there.
I mean, to me personally, this is like the heart of America right here. The reason why we're called the Crossroads of America is the fact that everybody can come up to the central location from New York to California, and even, you know, if you've got a bunch of groups up in Canada or whatever, it's so easy to come down into this place in Indy, and we've got more than enough room to put everybody up. and there's hotels within 1 mile of the place. It's a free event. Mm-hmm. If people just spend their money on the hotel and the gas to get here or whatever, mm-hmm. they don't have to pay a dime to get in.
Right. And you made mention of Crossroads of America. We went, Dennis and I went down to Kentucky a few weeks ago. We went down to Crystal's event, and of course, he was taking pictures, you know, being from Canada, just getting here. He was taking pictures of, we were able to go through Ohio and Kentucky on the way down. And then coming back, he got to see the Welcome to Indiana. It said Crossroads of America. I said, mm-hmm. you see that sign right there? That's how we come about the Crossroads Paranormal.
Exactly. I mean, it just makes so much sense for this to be the hub or the center of, you know, and I'm not using the word unity to save my life anymore. I'm nope. using the word respect.
That's been stricken from the vocabulary.
It has completely been stricken from my vocabulary. It's not about unity. I don't, you know, these people who are saying that we're never going to be able to get along and things like that, we don't have to get along. The scientific community doesn't get along. The point is that we can go and we can respect each other's work, and we can go ahead and do peer review, and we can work together to find a common goal. Every single team that's working there is working for the same thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. Absolutely. So, I tell you what, ladies, we are going to take our first break, and we'll let Danny rest her vocal cords a little bit. And when we come back, we'll see what else we can talk about, and then we'll bring up the paranormal meet and greet again in our last segment, so we can be sure to cover it. We're going to be hitting it hard all week. I mean, obviously, we want to get the word out that basically because it's this Saturday, so we will. And actually, I have like three commercials for the meet and greet, so that's what we're going to start off with.
Awesome.
You are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, and also simulcasted at Free Time Radio over at freetimeradio.com, and we will be right back.
The fourth annual Paranormal Meet and Greet, attracting many paranormal enthusiasts from around the Midwest with the purpose of networking within the paranormal community. Paranormal groups are encouraged to set up booths and present information about their organization. Individuals looking for paranormal investigators or thinking about joining a group should not miss this opportunity to meet some of the leading organizations in paranormal investigation. Tours of the Hanna House will be available throughout the day for a small donation. There will also be a historic Hanna House yard sale from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Find treasures to take home from the historic mansion. The historic Haunted Hanna Mansion is located at 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46227. For further details and upcoming announcements, please visit www.crossroadsparanormal.com.
Hey, psst, kid. Come here. You're looking for a paranormal fix, aren't you? Well, look, check it out. What you need to do, go on over to www.asprn.com. Tell them Mikey sent you. Wink twice, knock twice. When you click on it, hit the chat live. Go into the chat room. Yeah, you'll find your fix there.
Yeah, you found your fix right here on Good Morning Paranormal. And so before the break, we were talking about, you know, groups getting along. And, you know, along the same lines, I want to bring up now that we're seeing kind of the same thing finally with radio shows. And I see that in the chat room we have representatives from what do we got? We got three different radio shows listening to us today. And I do know that, and especially like PC now, I'll use her. I meant to mention that earlier in the show. The shows are starting to share stuff as well, which I think is great. I mean, we've always said that we're, you know, if there's anything you need from us, we will give it to you. And I know PC is now being broadcast on four different networks, I believe. Is that correct, PC?
Yeah, holy cow.
So, I mean, right there, that shows you that. I know there was a period of time where it was like, you know, no, this is mine. And you wouldn't be able to cross over like that. And I really want to thank Free Time Radio for that opportunity. I think they've helped a lot. I know they've brought a lot of our shows over and our simulcasting. Black Vault does a great job with bringing on some shows. Those are all podcasted, but they come and get your show for you, and they take care of everything and help put the word out there. So I'm starting to see more and more of that, and I like to see, you know, the shows coming in. I know I always go, when I have time, I go around from show to show to listen. I do it to learn, you know, to see what someone's doing. Maybe they're doing it better than what I am, and can try to make mine better. So what's your thoughts on that, PC?
Well, I think it's very important to learn other interviewing styles. I won't claim to be a professional by any means. My goodness. I do this just because I'm a goofball and I want to know more. So, you know, I mean, really, it is important to go in and find out how other people are asking the questions that you want to ask. Otherwise, you'll find yourself in a rut asking the same questions over and over again.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's really important to go and listen to other guests, too, as well, just to see what they, you know, have to say, so that, you know, it gets your brain working. It makes you think of, okay, that's his perspective, and I heard this perspective over here. Wow, what if you put the two perspectives together, and maybe that's the answer. Maybe we're one step closer. You just never know. Your brain is working when you're really listening to what people have to say. And I think that's a great service that's put out there by every show that I've ever listened to.
Oh, absolutely. And now you're on ours, of course. You're broadcasting on Free Time Radio. Jackalope
Planet Paranormal.
Planet Paranormal and Jackalope 105.
Right.
Now that's Todd's, right?
Right. Right.
So
yeah, we just started simulcasting with him last Tuesday.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that was quite the surprise. I found out like 2 hours before the show. So I'm like, oh no, more people gonna listen to this goofball.
So you're doing.
Hey, so do you guys ever ask the guests if what they think about the other radio shows, and maybe either questions that they were asked or what they thought of how they were treated or anything else like that?
No, we never have. I don't know if that'd be like putting them on the spot or anything like that, but I have.
Do they ever offer up the information?
Yes.
A lot of times they'll say, you know, well, I was on this show and, you know, we kind of went over this and went over that, but that's usually as far for me as what it goes.
Right. Now, I've gotten emails from people making mention of different things. They weren't happy with something or whatever, but not during the air generally, no. I don't know if it's, you know, they're not wanting to. Which I think is great. I mean, that's not what we're trying to do. We don't want to bash another network or another show that's maybe not done it so well.
Right.
But, you know, I think the guest will put that out there in their ways, you know, whether it be MySpace or I know they've, like I said, we've had emails before. I can't think of one off the top. I think of one, but I can't remember the details. But I got an email one time, and they just were not happy at all the way they were treated during the interview. And
on the flip side of that, do you ever get like kudos? Oh, well, that team was great. That radio show was great.
Yes.
Maybe you guys, you know, should talk about something like along the lines of that during your show or whatever.
We got an email just recently. We had. I'm trying to think. Sherry Epperson, I believe it was. And I just throw the name out there. And actually, Chris did a... She wrote an article for one of the paranormal newspapers or online magazines or something, and was talking about... it was kind of a spoof on how to be a ghost hunter. And it was basically all the things not to do. But we had her and another lady, one of her members on the show... And they were excellent. They were great guests. And they sent us a long email after the fact and talked about how happy they were with how things went on our show. So we do get that from time to time as well. And,
that's good.
And actually, I got an email just the other day. We're bringing Eddie Benitez on. For those that don't know Eddie Benitez, he's a jazz guitarist, legendary jazz guitarist. He was featured on A Haunting. He was the first ethnic episode of A Haunting on I think it's on A&E or I'm not sure what channel it is. But we've had him on a couple of times. I just got an email from his media person wanting to come back on. And, you know, he's always a great guest, and he always is pleased with how we do our show. So, you know, someone like that, it's always great when we hear that from them.
What about asking the tough questions, Mike? Do you ever encounter that when you're interviewing someone, where there's just this nagging question that you have to ask, but you're afraid to ask it because you don't know how it's going to be interpreted, or if you're going to put it out there the way you intend to put it out there, but you really want the answer or what their interpretation is of it.
Right.
And it could be a controversial question, but you really want to ask it, but you don't know if you should.
Well, and I know for myself how I do it, and I noticed Chris did the exact same thing last night. If there's something and we're not sure how it'll come out, we will say up front, I want to ask the question, and we mean no disrespect, no, you know, and it's not trying to bash or we're not trying to offend anyone. So we try to give them the information up front, you know, that, you know, we just want to ask a question, you know, and then they have the option of either answering it or not. But for the most part, when we handle it that way, we haven't had any problems.
Awesome. And that's a great way to go about it.
To date, and we've been doing this a little over 2.5 years, we have not gotten, I'm going to probably start rolling in now, but we have not gotten an email back with someone that was displeased with the way we handled them during our show. And I don't think any of you have, to my knowledge.
No. I had one person that I had on, and I disagreed with a certain portion of what she stood for, what she incorporated into what she was doing. Uh-huh. And I posted a blog following the show. Now, I didn't really bring this, you know, into great light during the show, but I did post a blog regarding my feelings on that certain particular thing. It was not geared towards her specifically, because there, you know, it just kind of reignited that, well, you know, I don't really like this happening, so I'm going to, you know, put it out there in my own blog and whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, she was disgruntled about me blogging after the show. Well, you know, it wasn't just pointed in her direction. It was pointed at everybody out there that's mm-hmm. making a buck off of it, you know, mm-hmm. the unknown. So that was really the only upset mail I got.
Yeah, generally that's, it just went away from me. Like, that's kind of a guilty conscience thing right there, if you ask me, when that happens.
Right.
You know, when
right.
If you put it out there in general terms and then someone takes offense to it, to me, that's always kind of like a guilty conscience. Now, and I think you can ask the difficult questions if you do it properly.
Exactly.
So, and honestly, and after all this time, we have not had to. I don't know that we've really had any controversy. We haven't had a show like you had with the $200 Ghostbusters.
In California?
Yeah. I guess we've been fortunate in that way. So I don't know what would happen if we did.
Although, you know, I look back on that, and now in hindsight, it was just, there was so much balled up emotion between everybody that participated in that show that it could have been seriously explosive, but the way that it ended up, I think, just was awesome, and it needed to really come out that way. And it was kind of opened a door for us, so to speak, in a way. It really got the attention of a lot of new listeners, and for that, you know, you can't help but be grateful. But it was unfortunate to even have to do a show like that to begin with.
So I have a question mm-hmm. on that topic.
Is it a tough question?
It is a tough question. This is going to be a really tough question to both of you guys.
Okay.
My point is that, okay, we kind of go ahead and give the green light for psychics, for the most part, earning money in this business. We give authors the green light to earn money in this business, and we give a couple of other vendor type areas to earn money in this business. So why is it okay for them and not others?
Depending on, in my opinion, it depends on what it's for. You know, if a psychic, if that's her, if her or his, if that's their business, you know, that's different than going to a residential family and charging them to investigate their house, unless they're doing it as a business. Does that make more sense?
I think there's a difference. The difference being that, you know, granted, homeowners, though, need and want answers as well. I was kind of going towards, you know, people going to a psychic out of their own free will, their own volition to, you know, they're really intent on needing to contact a loved one or know what's coming up in their future, where their job is going, or if they're going to have a job. That's more of a conscious decision based on what they need and want to know. But then on the other hand, so are the residentials who need and want to know what's going on in their home. So I guess I'm looking at this going, you know, where I could see the both sides of the issue. But I like Mike said, I think if, you know, they're doing it more as a business as far as the psychic abilities, and they've been proven, I don't know. See, that's a real tough question for me, because I know someone who I firmly believe in as a psychic, and then there are those clowns out there that are like the ghost captures who, you know, are just out to make a buck. So I think you can see both sides of the spectrum on either side.
For me, first and foremost, if you're going to charge for anything, you need to be a business.
Yeah, but even if I go out tomorrow and sign up all the paperwork to be a business and pay my $90 or whatever to the state of Indiana, and then I go out as part of Crossroads, you know, and go around to house after house after house that we investigate and say, okay, well, that's $500. You know, I need $500 now for that.
Well, first of all, if you went out and made a business, chances are you wouldn't be making it as Crossroads.
Well, no, there's not a chance Crossroads would ever do this.
Right. So what
I'm just saying,
my point on that then,
hypothetically, so Danny's ghost hunting business is now in session, and I'm out there to make a buck, $500 a pop.
Well, you know, it's not something that we would do. Now, I know times are hard and people need to make a buck. I'm not against anyone trying to make money. But I guess we'll go back to the one that PC had. you're making my head hurt.
You know, it's Monday morning, Danny.
Well, use the ones.
I know, but this is a good point. You know, I was faced with this because, you know, just to bring up for the meet and greet, you know, here I've got teams. I'm trying to make this event free. I've got teams coming in from all over the place who are, you know, adamantly against anybody making a buck in this field. I mean, that's kind of like the unspoken motto of the ghost field. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, we've got psychics coming in. We've got authors coming in. We've got everybody, you know, out there who is trying to make a buck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not going to say no to these people who are coming in because, you know, I understand that times are tough and things like that. And this is their business, and that is what they do. You know, whether it's a metaphysical bookstore or whatever that they're selling their salt, you know, lamps and things like this, you know, that is what they do. But to me personally, it really is the same thing as a ghost hunter walking into a residential investigation and then saying, okay, that'll be $500. Thank you.
Well, now, on that part, I personally disagree. To me, anytime you get paid for anything, you are quote-unquote professional. Okay? That's what you do for a living. Okay? The author selling their books. They write books for a living. The people selling videos, the ones that we mostly know, like Dan T. Hall and Keith Age, and I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head. But they do that. Dan T., that's his business. You know, he makes movies. So he's selling his
business. Danny Ghost Hunting Group is going to create an LLC, and I'm going out and making a business.
Okay. And so if that's your business and someone contacts you, then, you know, that's a different story.
okay, so why do we have a problem with other ghost hunting groups that are actually charging?
Are they a business?
Some are, yeah.
If they're a business and someone employs them, so be it.
I don't know if I'm okay with that, but...
Well, I think most people, especially
okay,
now...
Okay, so this goes along with the fact that everybody in the ghost hunting world knows that I detest Christopher Moon. This is not a secret. I have a problem with people who prey on people who are either grieving or who are...
Yes, and I agree with that.
Having problems with how they're dealing with something or having issues with believing things that are not on the mainstream beliefs. So, I am playing devil's advocate here. I have a huge problem with anybody making a buck off of these issues. Huge problem. Massive problem. This is not a secret. I am truly playing devil's advocate here. I want to know what other people think, though. Where is the line that people draw where it's not okay?
It was just said in the chat room by Dan, the founder of Pampa, Texas Paranormal Research, and he made a very good point. Psychics have been doing this for years, and they've been doing it under the basis of entertainment. The other isn't. The ghost hunting side isn't doing it as entertainment.
Okay, so...
And that point I can understand to a degree, because they are, you know, telling you that this is for entertainment purposes only, and if you agree to that and you're willing to pay your money up front, there you go.
Okay, to answer Danny's question, or my comment on our question, about people charging for bogus stuff, or you just don't think. I think, well, first of all, obviously, as you know, we don't charge for anything. Everything we do is free. We would never charge for anything. I mean, if we're going to bring 1,000 people in to an event we got going on, and we're not charging anything, I mean, that should tell you right there. But, now, back to the Christopher Moon thing and the scenario you had there, I would hope, and we have a caller that's going to be with us here in just a minute, I would hope that just like any other, if you went downtown to a business and someone just opened up a business downtown and they were ripping people off and that new, then I would hope that the word would get out and people would quit going to the place, and eventually they would be out of the business. Same thing on a paranormal side. If someone says they got a business and I'm going to charge and it's just all crap, I would hope that the word would get out and eventually they're not going to have any business to worry about charging anything.
I don't know. The word's been out for over a year, even maybe two, about Christopher Moon, and there are still people who patronize him.
I know. Well, and I mean, that's our fault.
Because we haven't, well, you know, I can't say we can take full responsibility. The people that he targets are people that are not in this community.
Right.
Right.
And they have no clue. That right. This is not a legitimate thing.
Just like the people from California, exactly.
Right.
And unfortunately, I guess in what we do, that's the downside of it. Because
but then again, with the entertainment thing, he does say it's for entertainment purposes only. But if it's for entertainment purposes only, why are you charging such exorbitant fees?
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, we have a caller here. We have, I got to find it again. Chance Radio, I'm not sure of his name, but welcome to ASPRN and Good Morning Show. And I think you have some comments on the topic we're talking about.
Hi, well, first off, good morning. I'm Chance. I'm the founder of Applied Paranormal Investigations at Brains in Florida.
Good morning, Chance.
Good morning.
Good morning. Also, I host a radio show. I host on Paradigm. I've been doing that as a guest host, actually, until October.
We don't allow no one to talk about the radio shows here.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to cry. It's not even 11 o'clock here yet. I'm only on a second cup of coffee and making me cry. That's just wrong.
So you wanted to voice your opinion on people charging.
Yeah, the way I kind of look at it is kind of like this. Now, I mean, granted, we all have our different opinions on why people charge. But mine is that, like, with our team, we don't charge because I kind of feel that if I don't go to accredited school, like, you know, if I come to fix your air conditioner, I obviously have gone to accredited school. You know, it's a fact-based thing that I'm working on. So, yes, I should get charged for that, you know, or I should be able to charge for that, you know, type of service. you know, with investigations like we do, it's going in to help people. It's more on a personal level. It's not accredited. It's something that's all done on theory and on practice and trial by error. And I think that, you know, that's why a lot of us feel that it's not right to charge.
Well, and basically you're saying the same thing I did. If you're, you used the air conditioner guy, okay, he's went to school, he's a professional HVAC person that you've employed to come and fix your air conditioner or heater. Now, the drawback is, you know, the paranormal community is a little bit different than general life. You know, you got this community. So the scammers are working the outside of the paranormal community, and that's what they're doing. That's what Danny was saying. And that's the ones we have a problem with. You know, chances are Christopher Moon is not getting any money from inside the paranormal community.
Yeah, and see, and that's exactly it. It's like, how can I charge you for a service that's not a guaranteed service when I come in there?
Right.
You know, because, I mean, anybody who does professional investigations would be the first to admit that it's all trial by error. You don't know exactly what's going to work, what's not going to work, if you find anything, if you don't find anything. You know, and I mean, charging money for that type of service, you know, that you can't guarantee anything behind, I feel that it's wrong.
Danny, you about to bust?
You know, the biggest thing is that I just want to know where that line is of where it's okay and where it's not okay, because I still go back to the psychics and I still go back to the people who are writing books, or I still go back to the people who are claiming that they're doing cleansings and things like that in people's homes. There are people who are making money. Not a lot of money. I will be the first one to say, you know, there are people out there, there are some big names that I've talked to that, you know, who do this as a living, literally. You know, they go around, they talk at conferences, mm-hmm. they write books, they do TV appearances and things like that, and they will be the first ones to tell you there is no money out there to do this.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But I still want to know where the line is, where we are sitting here saying, no, you can't do that. But then, yet, we still allow other people to do it.
Well, that's the thing. There's no really a way for us to be able to marshal that to make sure that nobody charges. I mean, it's really all up to people like us who don't charge or anything to put the information out there to be wary of these people. You know, if they try to claim that they've gone to special schools for this or whatever the case may be, that, you know, there's not really a special school for it. You know,
yeah, there is. There's the Golden Gate Institute.
The University of Austria.
Hey, there's also, you know, you can get your certification from Patty Starr. You can, you know, get all these other certifications from Dr. Dave Oyster. You've got all these other places that you can go and get your education.
Right.
I was going to say, I can go online, pay $35 and get an education in, you know, physics. You know, it doesn't really mean that I actually know how to do it all.
So Danny's ghost hunting business is now going to set up an education store too.
I guess bottom line for us is, and I'm speaking when I say us, Chris and myself, and I know she'll say the same thing for the most part. Again, obviously we don't really agree with it, but this is America. You know, people are free to do with what they want for the most part, as long as you are not hurting anyone. And
but
when
see,
I say
this
hurting
is where
anyone,
I think it is hurting people.
But does the person being hurt know they're being hurt?
Well, I don't think that makes it right.
Well, I didn't say it was right, but how can you? I don't know. That's just
I was gonna say, once again, we fall back to the issue that we all agree that it's not right. But how can you marshal that?
I don't think you can.
Yeah, you can't.
I think you got to.
It's absolutely impossible.
I think you got to accept it and help those that don't know any better. It's going to happen no matter what we do.
Right.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
And you know the best way to do that? Saturday at Indianapolis, Indiana, Hannah House. Had to get that in there.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping maybe that gets out, you know, across, and maybe some people are talking about that issue, you know, at the Hannah House. To be perfectly honest, one of the reasons why I brought this up in the first place is because I'm worried a little bit about a little bit of backlash about ghost hunting groups coming out and saying, well, man, there were people making money there.
And?
people making money, but not selling ghost hunting services, right?
I'm hoping not selling ghost hunting services, but right. Why is that the line? Why is ghost hunting services the line, and why isn't it psychic ability not the line?
Did we have...
Okay.
I don't know that we've ever had psychics charging, have we? At our event.
Oh, yeah.
At our event?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to have them this year.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. Not just psychics, but there's going to be tarot card readings. There's going to be all kinds of other stuff out there that people are going to be charging for their services. And it is a service, whether it's entertainment, whether whatever you want to call it.
Are they charging or taking donations?
Some will be taking donations. Some will be charging.
Is there a difference?
No.
You don't think there's a difference in charging or taking a donation?
A donation is a willing gift.
Well, so is charging in a way.
Well, charging is just paying for services.
Right, but you're still willing to give them that money for
the unknown. Willing, but your money part's a little harder than a donation. Part's your hand, you know what I mean?
Well, a donation not necessarily is because...
kind of just because, well, you know what, you did a really great job, I appreciate it, you know, it was fun, it was a good time, here you go, just because, here's a tip.
Right.
Do you feel bad when you tip a waitress?
I do.
For a service that... Never mind, shut up.
I hate giving them my money for anything, but not that they don't, you know, I know they deserve it and what
but
have you.
But this is a good point. I mean, as far as what is the difference from me going out to Radio Shack, building up a Radio Hack Shack, Frank's Box or whatever, going out there and say it costs me $50 to make them and I'm out there selling them for $75. But, you know, or I'm out there and I'm doing tarot card readings and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So there's goods and services, but it doesn't make any difference at all when you've got ghost hunting groups coming together for free in the purpose of networking and then you turn around and walk out and everybody's like, wow, you know, that person made a couple $100 just coming here doing that.
Well, that's where, you know, I think things are going to have to change. And some of these TV shows, number one, seeing as though they're really bringing this to the forefront more so than, you know, the rest of us can because they have a more open circuitry for getting their voice out there. I think they're going to have to start at some point saying, you know, we do not charge for this service. We do not, you know, appreciate charging. We're not getting, you know, whatever. So, you know, somebody's going to have to make it public so that people are aware that there are teams, many, many more teams that are legitimate and willing to help them for nothing versus the ones that charge it. Think, well, case in point, they think that they're not, teams that don't charge aren't professional. So they're playing the other side of the coin. We're playing the teams that charge aren't professional. They're saying you're not professional unless you charge. So... you know, there's both sides of the fence. But I think the general public as a whole needs to be notified that there are a lot of teams that do not charge because they are researching the paranormal, not just trying to make a buck.
Well, I was just going to say, I think because of the fact that everything that we do is becoming more and more mundane, it's becoming more and more accepted, you know, more media attention, you know, it's getting around, that the more that people see that there are so many groups out there that don't charge, and are actually professional play people do this job, you know, and the type of equipment they use, they know what they're doing, that they're going to see the people who pay or, you know, who are charging. And eventually, I think the people will actually just kick them out on their own. You know what I mean? I mean, eventually, they're just going to lose out.
Well, and that's what I think, too. I mean, I know, and that's where we talked about, like, at the meet and greet, get the word out that, you know, you do not charge. You know, this is what we do. We do not charge. And then I think as... the paranormal becomes more mainstream. It's fairly mainstream now, or getting more and more all the time. People are going to look for options and not have to pay, even though they shouldn't have to pay now.
Right.
I would hope so, but there are still enough people, like I said, who are patronizing people like Christopher Moon, who don't know any better, who don't understand that we're an unregulated field, that they don't understand that ghost hunting groups can charge. They can go out there and charge for obviously the one out there in California is.
Yeah.
Or people who are charging for cleansings, or people who are charging for ghost hunting, but then saying that it's for quote unquote entertainment purposes or whatever.
Oh, and I agree. I mean, I know that's happening, and those people are just taking advantage of, for lack of a better word, ignorance on people in general. Ignorance to the fact that it doesn't have to be done. You can get it done for without being charged.
It's going to be interesting to see what other people have to say after the event this year, because like I said, there will definitely, like I said, there's authors last year who sold out of every single book that they brought, and there's other vendors and things like that that are actually going to be selling goods and services. It's going to be actually interesting to see if people are upset, not upset, if they have no comment, whatever, or if people are just all up in arms that, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I don't think, and it, you know, maybe right or wrong, I don't think that people are going to be upset, especially with the authors and the video or the filmmakers. Whether they'll be upset with a psychic or not, they should not be if it's posted, because if they don't want to pay, don't go and get in line and go through and see the psychic.
True.
Right.
You know, and I know that probably the majority of psychics out there charge at some point or another. And, you know, we could have made it, and I don't know if you set up the psychics coming or not, Danny. Did they contact you?
I've been contacted by several, and I've also gone through a couple of different places, like some of the metaphysical bookstores and things like that that know their psychics. And then we also have one of our sponsors that is actually bringing in a bunch of student psychics. So they're going to be set up, and then there's also the professional psychics that are going to be there.
You know, maybe if that's something that you're concerned with in the future, well, of course, in there, it's hard to do. I was going to say, you know, we have psychics on our show from time to time, and they've done, you know, numerous readings on the show, which are for free. Now, what that does is that drums up business for them. If people like what they hear, you know, then there's a chance that they're going to call them and employ their services. Maybe for the event, it could be the same way.
Yes, and the way I'm looking at it is that this is a free event. People are coming in to market about their team, about what they do, what they stand for, what they don't stand for, things like that. Because every single group out there is different. I don't care what anybody says. Every single group is doing things different to a point.
Absolutely.
It's the differences that I'm pushing people to find out what's going on, what people are doing different. But I also know that I want this to be fun for not just the ghost groups, but also for any public that come in, and to just go around and talk to every single ghost group that's in Indiana or states that are local close by to Indiana. That's not always fun. You know, it's fun to go talk to a psychic. It's fun to go get a tarot card reading. It's fun to go, you know, see what authors have out right now. It's fun to see what you can purchase as far as, you know, maybe there is a group out there that's going to be selling Frank's boxes or whatever, or used equipment. I think that's great. There's going to be people out there that are going to buy it.
Oh, yes.
And I think that is entertainment in itself, just as far as this is supposed to be an entertaining, fun networking event.
Yes. Yes. All right. Chance?
Yes.
Any more comments on this?
First off, I'd like to say thank you guys for not picking on me for the last 5 minutes so I was able to finish my coffee. So much happy about that now. I'm actually waking up. And secondly, honestly, real quickly, I wanted to say this from the beginning, but I kind of skipped over because we jumped right into the issue, is that I'm really enjoying the show. You guys do a great job.
Well, thank you.
Aww,
yeah, we
thank
appreciate
you.
It. It's a new show, new concept, and so it's growing.
Oh, hopefully it'll just continue to grow. I mean, I'm one of those kind of people, like I said. I mean, I'm a host on a radio show, but it's a stand-in thing until October. But for me, I feel that I have no problem, like, promoting another radio group out there if they're doing a great job.
You don't either.
If someone's doing a sucky job, then I'll let them know they're doing sucky too. You guys will learn that the more you get to know me, that I say what's on my mind, whether you like it or not. So.
We have an open policy here at ASPRN. You know?
There we go. Well, you guys are doing a great job.
You know?
Well, they have to if they let me talk.
Yeah. Did we lower our standards?
Oh!
I think somebody else needs another cup of coffee now.
Pass the Kleenex, will you, Chance?
I try to beat her down a little bit.
I do.
I got to beat her down a little bit.
I only have one left.
She's breathing. Oh, no. She's breathing down my neck, so I got to beat her back a little bit. You know.
But really, is that such a bad thing first thing in the morning?
No, I like to get the blood flowing first thing in the morning. My shows, every time I'm on, I want to get those crazy things out there. I want to talk about stuff. I don't want to just do the fluff.
I might start bringing you on Fridays instead of Mondays because you make my head hurt. Now I got to go all week long.
I had a bring up answering the tough questions or asking the tough
there
questions.
There you go. See, it's your fault, PC.
I'll take the blame for this one, Mike.
All right, who's got an easy question? It's Monday.
is it Friday yet?
Yeah, there you go. No, that's a tough question. Or it's an easy question. Yeah, no.
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our next break. And when we come back, we'll see what else can Danny make our head hurt about. We're going to get a little more information about the Hannah House and the event coming up this weekend. And you are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network and Free Time Radio at freetimeradio.com. And we will be right back.
Annual convergence of paranormal groups to meet in Indianapolis. Hosts have announced the 4th annual Paranormal Meet and Greet on Saturday, August 8, 2009 in Indianapolis at the historic Haunted Hannah Mansion located at 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana. The event will begin at 12 p.m. and last until 4 p.m., open to the public, and admission is free. This event will be held at the Haunted Hannah Mansion where one tragic night a group of slaves cramped into a dirt floor cellar sat waiting for the right time to leave their hiding spot at the Hannah House and head for freedom in Canada on the Underground Railroad. One of them unknowingly tipped over an oil lamp, instantly igniting a fire, trapping them for eternity. The dead are buried in that very cellar that claimed their lives in the attempt to cover up any traces of the heartbreaking incident. For further details on the 4th annual Paranormal Meet and Greet, please visit www.crossroadsparanormal.com.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Tuesday, we'll sell you the seat, but you'll only need the edge. No, really. Join PCR every Tuesday night at 7 Central Standard Time and 8 Eastern Standard Time on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
All right, we are back, and we have been talking about paranormal radio shows and, lastly, charging for paranormal services. And Lord only knows what we're going to get into now. Is everyone still with me?
Holy cow, there's an hour left. I'm
kind of scary, isn't it? Yes.
I'm still here. I was confused about the haunting of Bigfoot from the camera.
Haunting of Bigfoot? I didn't see that.
Sorry.
What if Bigfoot sightings are sightings of Bigfoot ghosts?
Huh. That's a good question.
I'm not sure if, you know, from what I've read in Bigfoot investigations and stuff, if I want to be investigating something that's impressive feeling.
Huh. Announcement, Danny. That's awesome.
I couldn't help it.
What am I missing here?
South Indy Paranormal would love to get a copy of that promo of the commercial for the Hannah House, I'm guessing.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking for just a second, and I was like, it just pops into my head. What if Bigfoot sightings are sightings of Bigfoot ghosts?
Don't
everybody talk at once.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm trying to respond to South End here. You guys just keep going.
Okay. I for some reason it just popped into my head, and I'm thinking, boy, that would be terrible.
Okay. Now, who's actually just speaking right now? Is that Danny?
Yeah, it's me, Danny.
Okay, Danny, first off, we're switching you to decaf on Monday morning when we're talking about this stuff, okay? Because that's a little too much, and I haven't got to the third cup yet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. I was reading one of the Ghost Divas blogs the other day, and what was it? Quantum Paranormal, Mike, he had something up there that made my brain turn for days. I was I could not wrap my head around it. He was talking about, how did he word it? It was something about skeptical people, but it was people who were false skeptical or something like that. I can't remember exactly the wording. I'll have to look it up for the next show or something like that. But he just made my brain hurt. And I for some reason that just popped into my head this morning. If people are looking for these extinct animals or these cryptozoological animals, and if they're looking for, you know, these things, and but what if they're ghosts of, you know, things that have been extinct?
You know, honestly, it's a really good point, because a guest that I had on to my show, her name is Lori Champion, and she does hostile haunts investigations, and she did a Bigfoot one. And, you know, she had, you know, basically with her own eyes had seen a Bigfoot creature, you know, and she said that it seemed to act more human than an animal, you know, and thinking about that, well, hypothetically, let's say that it does have more of a range of being human and it does have a soul. And let's say that they have passed on and they're now extinct. Maybe that is why we all keep, well, not all of us, obviously, but some people continue to keep seeing them or hearing the crashes and such and everything else, but there's never remains found.
Why don't we see more ghosts of Indians, since Indians were on these lands thousands and thousands and thousands of years before we were? Why don't we see more ghosts or hear more EVP from ghosts or from Indian ghosts as a Native American?
I think a possible theory is as such that maybe a lot of the areas where these, you know, the Indians have passed on and been buried and such with their burial grounds, a lot of those places have physically been moved. Now, this is all, of course, theory. You know, I mean, this isn't my exact opinion or what I feel is the truth, but let's say hypothetically that maybe sometimes they are attracted to where they've been buried and such, and if they're all moved, you know, and put into, you know, more of a sacrificial area, or excuse me, a sacred area, maybe it's a possibility why we don't see or hear from them as much.
I've asked this question before, and somebody said it was just because their religious beliefs are thus that they don't believe in the spirit continuing on in our world.
Yeah, with Indian beliefs, they actually pass on to animals after they pass away.
Right.
Such as, like, you know, you can't kill the first deer that you see at the first of the season because it can actually harness the spirit of one of the, you know, Indians that passed on, and if you kill it, it brings them a bad luck and everything else with it.
So if that's the case, and if these things need a soul, and if there is a religious connotation, shouldn't we believe more in the fact that spirits are souls of the dead, and that we're not just chasing some alternate universe, or we're just chasing our tails?
Well, my theory that I kind of believe more in of what ghosts are is the fact that they are your actual personality that passes on once you die. Like let's say you investigate a hostile haunt, and a majority of times, that from what I've heard from other people, usually they have a hostile haunt, they automatically assume it's demonic. Well, what if it's not demonic? What if it's the person before that was a real jerk? You know, I'm trying to use the clean word on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's the reason why there's, you know, physical negativity that happens, such as people being pushed and prodded and slapped and everything else. You know, what's to say that it's not actually a demon, but maybe just a person who was just evil to begin with?
Right. I think that we should be seeing more, a lot more, of Native American EVP, more Native American ghost per se stories and things like that. I want to say that, you know, we have been here for a speck of time. They were here for a very, very long time. And it kind of surprises me of the lack of evidence that we have to support that, which to me, I can then interpret that data as maybe there is something to their belief system of their religious beliefs.
True. Very true.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, or the possibility, too, that let's say that because of the way Indians were treated, you know, when a lot of them were wiped off the planet because of us, maybe that's the reason why they choose not to contact us. Maybe there is a certain amount of fear.
Hang on just a minute.
So, you living in Florida, do you have any EVP from Native American?
No. Surprisingly, I don't have any EVPs from any Native Americans. I got EVPs, but none that I could say was Native American.
Hang on just a minute. Dan, I know you're on the line with us. Do you have your speakers on?
No, I don't.
Because when I connected you, all of a sudden we had a lot of feedback.
Oh. Is that better? I just unplugged my headphones.
There you go. That's better.
Okay.
All right, Danny. Oh, I still do have feedback. We'll work through it anyway. It should go away, hopefully.
Okay.
Now, what about the power of suggestion, Danny? Meaning that I, you know, coming from the skeptic part of me, I believe firmly in power of suggestion. I think if you have something in your mind, then that's what becomes reality. So if you go to a place and you've talked to people or you've done research and someone says they've seen or heard from an old man or an old woman or a child, then that's what you're going to think you heard during your EVP. So what if it wasn't? Maybe you got an EVP and it was from a Native American, but you weren't expecting it to come from a Native American, so you automatically thought, okay, it was the child or it was the old woman or the old man.
Very true. Very true.
Well, I know in this part of Texas here where I'm at, we deal with a lot of Indian spirits, and we do get a lot of EVPs from Comanche Indians and Navajo and several others.
Okay, so but when you go on an investigation, are you expecting the possibility of getting EVP from the Native Americans?
All the time. I have to expect it.
Okay, therefore that's what I'm saying. So could it be power of suggestion?
Possibly. But with our cases that we do deal with, because a lot that we do deal with is demonic, we have to be careful that we're dealing with an Indian spirit and not something demonic. Because the actual dialect of how they talk is very similar in the way it sounds. And we sometimes have to get somebody in, a specialist, to come in and make sure that we're dealing with an Indian or not.
Okay. Danny?
Well, my first question is, are we having Native American EVP come through in their native language that we're not even understanding that it's EVP?
Just thinking it's gibberish.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think that's always a possibility also.
Good question.
That's one of the problems that I have with, the international GHI on the TAPS crew that's out there doing the international stuff.
Right.
Now, real quick, Dan, can I get you to hang up and call back again?
Okay, I'll try one more time.
Okay, there we go. Somehow we got a lot of...
Oh, man, I'll do my Monster Truck Rally commercial. That was all that.
Hopefully when he calls back, we'll get a better connection or something. PC, what are your thoughts on that? You believe in power suggestion?
Oh, definitely.
You think
if
it...
If somebody says, I mean, just for mere example, if I have a kid that says, oh, I got to go potty, Mom, can you take me to the bathroom or where's the bathroom? Like 10 minutes later, I got to go. It's just a given.
Yeah.
You plant the seed, it's going to have to happen. So as far as the Native Americans go, I know that they believe that everything has a spirit. If you pick a blade of grass off the ground, you are supposed to thank that land for giving you that blade of grass. You know, everything has a spirit. Even a rock has a spirit. It's there for a purpose. It was put there by the Creator for whatever purpose the Creator wanted it there for. So they look at spirituality completely different than what we do. And I don't think they focus so much on their own soul as they do, you know, it being just them being just a part of the earth.
Well, yeah, that would be considered their brother. The tree would be their brother or sister.
Hmm. Right. They just are more openly spiritual in a completely different way than we are. I don't know as though I believe 100% in the a lot of the Native American hauntings that are claimed to be Native American hauntings. I can understand, you know, how the Indians were treated and why they would be angry and things like that. But and it's still happening today. There are still tribes out there that are very angry and still going through a lot of the same things that their relatives and ancestors went through many, many moons ago. So, you know, I can understand why you would think that you know, some of these hauntings are you know, more Native American than anything. And then on the other side of the spectrum say, well, why aren't there more Native American hauntings? I just believe in their belief system that they believe in, you know, meeting their ancestors, and you know, they're off on another powwow somewhere, you know, in another plane. I don't think they want to come back here. Once their work here is done, and they're called to reunite with their former, your long dead ancestors, I don't think they want to hang around.
Brings up the exact point that I'm trying to make. Is their belief system making it harder for us, if not almost impossible for us, to pick up on their spiritual activity? And lead more credence to the fact that we need to be looking at these belief systems, that we need to be looking at these cultures and the different belief systems?
Well, just from a statement that I just found, it states the principle of an all-embracing, universal, and omniscient great spirit, a connection to the earth, diverse creation narratives, and the collective memories of ancient ancestors are common. It's where their focus is. Their focus is on, once their time here is done, they want to go back and rejoin their people. And I can't see why they would hang around unless they really weren't happy with their people.
Okay. Well, the ones I encounter with here, in most cases, are either spiritual guides of some sort, or they're protecting their burial ground at the time. Like, for example, where my house was built, it was at one time a burial ground, and all they did was just move the markers and build the houses over all of them.
Oh, geez.
That's common.
In this case, and like in my house, I have what is called a protector. And he knows that I don't mean no harm, and we've gone to an equal balance of understanding. You know, he knows that it wasn't my fault, but he's just mad because the house was here.
Right.
And if I try to mistreat the land or of it any way or something like that, he's gonna react to it.
I was going to say, well, how about looking at it, say, even from a quantum physics level? Let's say, hypothetically, let's say that when you pass on, okay, prime example, Einstein said that energy always goes on. It doesn't dissipate, doesn't disappear.
Amen.
Right. All of your thoughts and energy is nothing but energy. It's fired off in synapses. It's electricity. It's electrical charges that are in your body. They're always going to be there even after you pass on. Exactly. Now, let's say that that energy groups together, which conforms to make, say, a soul, just for a word to use, a soul, and it passes on. Now, let's say that, like you were saying about, you know, their belief in that they go back to the land or to their ancestors, well, that energy dissipates to go to that area, you know, whether it be, you know, back to the land and become a part of everything around them, such as an animal spirit and such, you know, possessing an animal. Or let's say that, like, for some people who stick around, you know, that we see these ghosts and apparitions and stuff, for people that are confused, they're not really sure what they want to do yet, and they're still here.
Exactly.
So I guess it still leads back to, if right here in this location where I've been investigating for over 15 years, I should be picking up all kinds of Native American activity. We are right here at the tip of Lake Michigan. There were all kinds of different Native American groups right here. I should be picking up EVP. I should be picking up more spiritual activity, about the same as any other kind of paranormal activity that I would pick up with any other kind of ethnic group. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, I'm not.
Well, you may be, and you're just not looking at it the right way. It's not always as we will hear, because sometimes it could be just an animal sound, and it could be just them. Just kind of a warning, like you're in my area.
Yeah,
okay, so that is good to know.
You know, because a lot of times here, like when I deal with, you don't actually hear them, we'll actually hear them say, like, leave, you know, you're here, or, you know, even in their language, you'll more or less get, like, animal sounds, not necessarily a growl, but other sounds, like a wolf, or maybe an owl, or something of that sort. It just depends on how their way of letting you know.
See, that's an excellent thing to know, and an excellent thing to look for, because I know for a fact that we've had animal sounds in our EVP, but I've never really thought about it being that type of communication.
That's exactly it, and that's what you're picking up on. So you have been picking up on Indian spirits, just the way of notifying without really letting you know it's down.
Okay, and we have a question from the chat room. They want to know, where do residual hauntings fit into that?
And I have an idea for that one. I think if we fall back to everything we've just been discussing about the belief system and what the, you know, the soul will travel on to do, well, prime example, humans, period, across the world, no matter what religion you are, what gender you are, what race you are, we're all creatures of habit, period.
Absolutely.
And what's to say when they pass on, when I talked about that little bit of confusion of not knowing what to do next, let's say that they just continuously keep doing the same thing, the same thing, the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
See, I'm a big belief on the geological theories here, because I really truly believe if you look at nothing more than an analog tape recorder, it is, if you pull out that tape, or if you pull out a VHS tape, and if you pull out that tape, the images, the information is stored magnetically. And if we are looking at residual hauntings magnetically, I believe that the best way to explain that is geologically, and stating that it is nothing more than an imprint of a video or a recording that's just playing over and over and over again geologically.
And that too. I mean, once again, it falls back to other theories. I mean, for everybody to look at and to view and see where they come up. Like, prime example, I'll give my opinion on this. I agree with what you just said. I think the residual haunts is just an imprint. It has no necessary intelligence, no nothing behind it. But I have seen investigations where people have done, say, an addition to their home, and they claim they had, you know, this activity where this woman walks through that part of the house, you know, every other Wednesday, hypothetically, you know, turns on a TV, walks out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can that be a residual haunt? Because obviously it has intelligence. It just learned that it knows that that section is new, and that TV is in that particular spot. It has learned something new. It has intelligence. It's not an exact residual haunt.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I totally agree with you.
So then, with what you just said, a lot of people have a theory that a residual haunt is basically someone that has died and does not realize that they're dead.
Yeah, they're just continuing on with activity.
Going on with
the
daily
business.
But I
believe that there is a residual haunt where people just, you know, or like, you know, like Danny was saying earlier, it's like a movie just playing over and over and over again.
Right, but with what you said, though, if that were the case, if they died, they didn't realize they're dead, so they're still there, they're going about their daily business, and now the TV's on something. Say they died in 1949, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now there's MTV on the TV. Would that not raise questions to them?
Oh, I'm sure it would, but like I said,
go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
interrupt. I'll just say no problem. I'm just saying that they're becoming aware. They're learning. They're picking up on it. You know, it's like I said, this addition never existed before. And then all of a sudden there's this whole other portion of the home, and this woman is walking through and all of a sudden turning on a TV, never talks to anybody, never, you know, makes it known to them showing that there's someone else there. They just do the same thing, you know, every day. Well, how can that really be residual haunt if they're doing something new? I think it's just another step in their learning process.
Exactly. Now, for a residual haunt, in most cases, it's usually from something that traumatically happened, like possibly a war or a suicide or something of that nature, just something of a quick death, but it was tragic. And that is where you're going to find most of your residual hauntings, because it's just repeating what happened, and it's not going to learn. It's not going to do anything different. It's just going to continue what it was doing before.
In the chat room, it says, then why don't we have more evidence if we know when and where something is going to happen?
Oh, for a residual haunt?
Yes.
Well, from my own personal opinion, from what I've seen, and even from talking with other groups, residual haunts are like near impossible to find. True residual haunts, you know, that happens on a certain day, you know, so on and so forth.
Right.
There's very few.
It was kind of funny. Just recently, we went to the John Dillinger Museum here in Indiana, and they had the actual wooden gun that he had used in the Crown Point City Jail during his escape, and they also had two Tommy guns. The one, which was the Porter County gun, that actually it was the Tommy gun that killed Sheriff O'Malley, and it was the first time that these three artifacts were together at the same time since the actual incident 75 years ago or whatever, or beyond 75 years ago. So I was hoping that the activity could possibly be triggered on that day. I was hoping to get up to the Biograph that night, but I didn't get a chance to see if there was any residual haunting, if John Dillinger was going to show up. But I didn't hear anything or see anything on the news, so I'm guessing that was a big flop.
Completely awesome, though.
I'm going to have to get off. I've got some things I got to go take care of, but thank you for having me.
All right, Dan.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you stopping by.
Take care, Dan.
I'll take care. Bye.
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly where, I mean, the residual hauntings and the Native American stuff. I mean, the biggest question that I have still in my brain is the data that I'm getting here in Northwest Indiana, which is we should have been covered with Native Americans all over the place, which is, you know, spiritual activity galore. If other people are having spiritual activity from Native Americans, why aren't we having it here? And I'm really glad to have gotten that information from Dana, Texas, about, you know, we're not necessarily listening correctly, which is good.
Yeah, that was a good point.
Because I'll definitely pique my interest when listening to EVP now, is that I'm actually going to be listening for a whole different set of criteria. But
Have you ever thought of learning the language or even a portion of the language from the tribe that lived in your area to ask in their language?
Yes, absolutely. And that's awesome. One of the problems that I have with GHI on TV is that they're not asking in their native languages.
Yeah, I mean, how can you go to Russia and ask a question in English and have these Russian spirits just understand what you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
What if it falls back to, once again, about the synapses firing off and energy and imprinting, that we're able to actually imprint ideas, a visual, not so much as an actual audio? And when they're answering back, you know, when they do pick up an EVP, which they have picked up EVPs in other languages, it's not just, you know, English every time, you know, that maybe, it, you know, if they do audibly hear something, maybe they're just, you know, it's being imprinted. I mean, it's just theory.
Yeah, no, and that's the whole point of bringing this out, is that, you know, I just learned something new today that I didn't really think about listening to animal sounds as being possible Native American spiritual activity. I love that idea. I think it's great. I learned something. And that's why I think it's so important for us to be networking, which is why I think it's so important for this, you know, networking event this Saturday.
Right. Absolutely.
Exactly. Because if you get closed-minded to think that your opinion is the only one that's right, then you need to close up shop and get out of it.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's time for another break. And then we'll come back with our last segment. And Lord only knows where that'll take us. So You are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, as well as Free Time Radio at freetimeradio.com, and we will be right back.
We're less than a month away from the 4th Annual Paranormal Meet and Greet in Indianapolis at the Hanna House. Time and location of the event, Saturday, August 8th, 2009, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at 3801 Madison Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46227. You can visit the Hanna website at www.thehannamansion.org. Booths and admission are free. We're looking for teams that would like to be added to the host list and would like to help out to work the event. We're needing an army of people to help. If a team or individual are interested in sponsoring the event, we're only asking for a $100 donation. Your information will be added to all the advertising and sent out to our media contacts naming you as a sponsor. If you'd like to sponsor the event, please contact Danielle Garrison at dgarrison@crossroadsparanormal.com. You will receive a receipt for your donation, and all proceeds will be given to the Hanna House. We'll also need you to go to dgarrison@crossroadsparanormal.com with your information to be added to the website and advertising for the event. This year, the Hanna House will be holding a yard sale to coincide with the event. Don't miss out on your opportunity to find your treasure to take home from the historic haunted Hanna House.
Do you hear it? I think it's coming. Listen, you might want to run for cover, unless,
Hey, Midwest Paratalk Radio is coming to you live every Thursday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Join Chris and Mike Baker for Crossroads Paranormal Radio every Sunday night at 8:30 Eastern for great weird locations, weird news, and great conversations. Crossroads Paranormal Radio, breathing life into the paranormal community every Sunday night, 8:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
All right, and we are back, and again, we want to thank Greg Cable for those commercials that he's done for the Hanna House. I did get to play all three of them today. And if anyone, I know that South Indy has asked for them so they can play them on their show. If anyone would like a copy of them to play this week for our event coming up on Saturday, just send me an email at asprninfo@comcast.net and I will send them your way. So, everyone, we got about 25 minutes left or so before we have to close out, and it's been kind of intense today.
You know, Monday has
every time
intense.
We bring Danielle on here, you know, we started to show the lighter side of the paranormal. Oh, we've been anything but light.
Well, you know, it's good too.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just
the lighter side. Right. We've talked about Michael Jackson's ghost. We've talked about everything else. We've talked about Ouija boards. We've talked about just about everything possible. I love to see where this, you know, Bigfoot ghosts.
Oh, yeah. No, I think the conversations have been great lately. You know, in-depth, intense. Put me on the spot. Don't like those on Mondays, for sure. But, no, everything's great.
I still want to be sure this is, I believe, in Bigfoot ghosts.
See there? You can make them. You can start marketing them and selling them.
There you go.
Make a little money on the paranormal.
Oh, that's too funny. I just saw the little action figure in my mind.
Yeah. So, Dan, am I got the right chance? I'm sorry. Dan's gone. It's still too early, you know. I work night shift, so anything before noon is still a little froggy for me. You're down in Florida. You got a radio show. Unfortunately, you can't make it to the Paranormal Meet and Greet this weekend. Do you guys participate in any kind of events or hold any events or go to conferences or any of that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I did a guest speaking shot for a group called Hanks at a paranormal meetup group in DeBary, Florida, south side of Orlando. And my team and I went there, and I did a guest lecture spot there. And no, I don't charge for doing guest lectures either.
No, we don't as well.
And we had a lot of fun. I mean, the paranormal meetup groups and, you know, and doing the, like, you know, the conferences and everything are so much fun. And even for people who aren't into the paranormal or have never been into the paranormal, it's a great place to go just to have fun for the entertainment value and actually get to learn a lot of stuff.
Now, one of the things that we like to do here at ASPRN, and I'm still unclear on whether we will be able to this Saturday or not, but we do a lot of on-location broadcasting if there's internet at the facility that we go to. Now, Danny, have we ever got any confirmation on whether the Hanna House has went Wi-Fi?
No, they have not, but I've just been telling people that if they have, a card that they bring in, that they could actually broadcast out, but there's no place, the Hanna House does not have it. They have just a direct line. They don't have Wi-Fi, which technically we could just bring a router, I guess.
Well, not only that,
wireless router.
I wonder if they'd be willing to let us run I can bring a 50-foot cable to hook into their, you know, just to take it from their machine into ours, if they would allow.
Yeah, them. I guess I'm just worried about bandwidth, or I'm not sure what they would worry about, but I could definitely ask them, sure.
I mean, because that's right now, that's going to be the only way we can broadcast from the event.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you bring a splitter, you can split off their main line and you know, to go to your router, and that way you can run it wireless.
But anyway, we do a lot of broadcasting live on events. We've been, you know, we had our meet and greet up north this past March. Was that when it was, Danny?
Yes.
And we broadcast from there. We broadcasted a couple times from the Loveland Castle in Loveland, Ohio, Mansfield. God, I can't even think of the places right now. Do you guys ever do that, or is that something you've ever wondered about or wanted to do?
All doing live broadcasts out and about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, we do it off and on, too. And like you, you know, we make sure we have a way to be able to broadcast from there with the, you know, with our computer. But if they don't, what I typically do is, well, I'll open up the show from back at, you know, my home, or where we usually run the show from. And I have one friend on standby with the chat and with the radio show with the computer. One friend is with their phone that texts, and they text me and my other two co-hosts out in the field and give us questions from chat and everything else, the whole nine yards.
Uh-huh.
And so, and since we're, you know, I'll just phone in to host the show.
Right.
And I can run it live out in the field and still be able to be on, you know, on the scene.
That's a cool idea. I never thought about that.
Actually, I like the text idea. That's a really good idea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because we'll have, like, you know, we have three hosts. Well, I'm the main host, and then I have two co-hosts there with me. And then we have a fourth person that's out there. They're the one who receives a text about questions in chat or if any issues come up, that they just hold the phone right up in front of me, and, you know, if I have to be talking, and I can read it and see if I have a question from chat or if there's an issue, you know, so I know that I can let my other co-hosts take over, jump off, and, you know, call back and get everything straightened out.
Very cool. See there? We learned something today.
See, this is what it's all about,
exactly.
Is talking to other people.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Exactly. You know, once again, it falls back. I mean, even with the radio show, the main point of the radio shows we do is getting information out there.
Absolutely.
And if we all share the information, get the information out, then, you know, now granted, I'm sure you've been through this too. You've dealt with, you know, shows that are all uptight and they don't want to talk to you because you're on another radio show and all that crap. Me, I like talking to people. I like talking to people from the same venue I'm in or other venues.
Oh, absolutely. We have nothing to hide. Not a thing. Yep. You want something, you want to know something, let me know.
I want the cat out of the bag, Mike.
Well, we've been trying to hide PC, but so far we've failed.
The security number is nothing.
No, it's great. That's the way we are. That's what it's all about. We'd love to do the radio. It's a hobby. It's for fun. We do it because we like to do it.
Exactly.
And now Danielle's going to be the new star. She's going to have her. She's probably going to have her new show here before long.
Oh, you know? No.
The Danielle Hard Question Hour.
Danielle Harrison.
I just like to stir the pot on somebody else's show.
There you go. And she will be on the radio tonight on South Indy. What's the name of that show?
It's South Indy Paranormal.
Okay. And that's
all. You know what we should have her do, Mike? We should have her write the hard question for the week, and each of us show hosts will ask our guest that hard question of the week.
Oh, she could be our like our back of the scenes writer.
Huh. And I'm also posted the link in the chat room for anybody that wants to listen to their show tonight.
It's me, Tony 66. Okay.
Yeah.
At Blog Talk Radio. Good old Blog Talk. We've all been there at one time or another. You know, it's a great place. We have nothing to say bad about it. It gives you a chance to get started, you know, with very little.
I was going to say that any show that Danny's going to be on, I'd have to listen to just to see if she stirs the pot
more. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The good thing about having Danielle as a guest on your show, now, she's not a guest on our show. She's one of the hosts. But it's a very easy night for the host.
Okay, make sure that I forward you an email. Yeah, I have you as friends on my space anyway, and I'm going to get you on my show.
That's too funny. No, it's just easy to talk about this. This is something that is my obsession, my passion. It just comes so easily. It's just something that I love to talk about. The event is something I love to talk about because it's just turning out to be such a spectacular event year after year, and it's just growing leaps and bounds. I knew it was going to start out small, and that's why I encourage any other group out there to start out something small. Even if you have freaking, you know, less than 50 people show up, or you have 10 groups that show up, that's still a meet and greet that you're networking.
Yep.
And then just let it grow every year and keep it free.
Absolutely.
You know, even if you've got people coming in to speak or something like that, keep it free. Let people spend the money on getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you made a comment. It's easy for you to talk on the shows because it's something you're passionate about and you like to do. You know, and people are always talking about that Chris does such a great job on our show. And she does. And one, she has a good voice, but she loves to talk about the paranormal. So that makes it a whole lot easier when you really like to do something and love to do it or passionate about it. It makes it so much easier for stuff to just to flow out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's Chris and I, when we get on the freaking phone, we'll just spend hours, and it's just so easy to spend so many hours talking about everything because we're just two very passionate people about this, and it just comes out, and there's just no stopping it.
I know. I generally have to leave the room.
I know.
Oh, no.
Well, it's like on our show, everybody jokes about our show. You know, since I had taken over as hosting, they said, you know, that the show has made a turn for having attitude. And I was laughing about that, you know, but they got a lot of great response emails saying that they loved having me on because I brought an attitude to the show and I made it funny. You know, because I'm an equal opportunity offender. I will offend everybody at one time or another.
Sarcasm served fresh daily?
Oh, yes. I mean, the show, we do the show every Friday, and I make it a point that every Friday night I do a top 10 list, and we change what the top 10 list will be every week. And for a while there, you know, the people who normally host it, they always do, you know, paranormal-type top 10s, you know, like most haunted places, such, you know, stuff like that. I did a top 10 last week. My top 10 was The top 10 list I had last week was jobs that were not meant to have equal opportunity applied. And I had paraplegic bull riders, pilots with no depth perception, astronauts who suffer from claustrophobia, you know, and yeah, we got a lot of emails showing a paraplegic one.
I can totally relate to the depth perception problem. I took a quick flight down the stairs this weekend.
Oh, no.
We won't go there.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I know all about going downstairs.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. So, Dan, you broadcast on Paradigm Radio. Is that correct?
Well, actually, Dan.
Or Chance. I'm sorry. Chance. I don't know why I keep wanting to call you Dan. I guess it's easier.
Hey, that works. I don't care. Call me whatever you want. Lieutenant Diane. I host on the show. It started off that I was a guest on there one night, and they had a lot of fun with me being on there, and we became friends. And then throughout time, she said that I had a great radio voice, you know, wants to come on and host for me every once in a while. And then they decided to take a hiatus until October, so I'll be hosting until October.
Oh, I see. So now, is Paradigm a network or is it just a radio show?
It's a Blog Talk Network.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got you. I see.
Yeah, they've actually been getting a lot of good reviews, though, that's gone to the point they might actually be going XM, and I might be getting my own paranormal talk show here in my hometown of Bradenton, Florida, on a radio show.
There you go. Very good. Very good.
Awesome.
Well, I have room on Friday nights. I don't know when you do yours. If you're ever interested, give me a holler.
I do mine on Friday nights at 11 p.m. till 1 a.m., but up until October.
Up to when?
October.
I see. Well, after October, if you're interested, give me a holler.
Sure.
We have plenty of airspace.
I would love to come on there and get you a bunch of emails too. You know, confusing and upsetting people. It'd be great. And then I'll leave quietly.
Yeah, we have I think it's 16 shows on. I don't know if that's correct. Is that right, PC? Does that ring a bell with you? I lose track.
Sounds about right to me.
I think we have about 16 shows on the network right now.
Really?
Yeah.
In the world do you find time?
I don't sleep much.
Obviously.
Yeah, but no, it's great.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say between just the one show that I do and then, of course, you know, our investigations that we do and everything else, it's taking up a lot of my time.
And events that we do. Fortunately, Danley does a lot of that. So yeah, it's busy, but it's something we love to do. So be it. Oh, you know what I meant to mention? We're running close on time, and I meant to mention this earlier in the show. Of course, everyone knows that Chris's son Dennis is here living with us now, and he went on his first investigation Saturday night.
Fantastic!
He did not go with us. There's another group here in town that Chris used to be affiliated with. Well, not that group, but they branched off and got their own group. And Chris and them are still friends and everything, so they invited him to go along with them. And he had a blast. They thought he did a great job. So, you know, that just even piques his interest more and more. He's really getting into it.
Way to go, Dennis.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So they were all proud of him, so it was a good day for him. He didn't wake up in time today to listen to the show as usual. You know, he's a typical 16-year-old. Sleep till noon or 1 o'clock.
Fantastic. No, that's exciting because he definitely brings something to the table. It's in his blood.
Yeah, it is. No doubt about that. And he is Chris made over, only twice as tall and skinny as a rail. I'll get smacked for that one, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, we got about 8 minutes left. PC, I know you guys are doing great over there at Parachallenged Radio. And who do you have coming up this week?
West Alabama Paranormal Research and Kat Harmon. She, I believe, if I remember correctly, can read cats. I don't know if she's a psychic or whatever. But I'm really looking forward to talking with her. It should be interesting. Something I haven't really heard much about before.
Read cats. So she like open them up and there's words inside?
I don't know. We'll find out. Hang in there. Stay tuned. Right. Tuesday. We'll let you know all the details then.
Tuesday, yes.
Yeah, just incredible. Steve's just doing a really great job getting the guests lined up and hooked up.
We have not mentioned Steve yet today, but we do appreciate everything that Steve does for not only, you know, NPR and PCR, but you know what? He does a lot for Good Morning Paranormal as well. He's always putting the bulletins out there, making everyone aware that's coming on. And he's the first one to jump on reposting the show bulletins and stuff. So Steve does a great job for the whole network for the most part.
Right.
Yeah.
But just that, want to let him know that we appreciate him very much.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The time he spends and things like that. And he's definitely not paid enough, poor guy.
Is anyone. But yeah, and then tonight on
PIR.
Sorry, I was reading, I'm sorry. On PIR and Para Investigators Radio and the Bewitching Hour. Let's see who we have here. I'm going to bring it up real quick. Kimmy J on Bewitching Hour has Gavin Cromwell on tonight, psychic medium. So that should be a very good show. And then let's see what Kurt's got shaking tonight, if I can get it to come up. Of course, as everything else, my computer. There we go.
Hey, he's got Dan Guthrie, the guy we just talked to this morning.
Oh, is that right? Is that who he's got? Yeah. Great. Dan Guthrie. So that's on PAR, both shows on tonight. And, but yeah, Chance, we have a couple, three shows on every night of the week on ASPRN. So if you ever have any free time, nothing to do, just stop by the chat room there and chat it up with everyone here.
Oh, I definitely will. I've had a blast on here today. And just like, you know, I'm a virgin. It's my first time on the show. And I've had a lot of fun. I'm definitely going to check it out.
We do the morning show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
And I wasn't even easy on you.
No. Made my head hurt.
And thanks for sharing your virginity with us.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Glad I could oblige.
So, unfortunately, you do live in Florida, so you won't be able to make the meet and greet this weekend. That is quite a drive. Quite a drive up there from Orlando, but yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Saturday at 12 noon to 4 at the Haunted Hannah House in Indianapolis, Indiana. Be sure to be there. Danny, any final words on that?
That is pretty much it. That, and I just want to also add one last thing. After the event, unseenpress.com is going to be doing a ghost tour. It's going to run an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours. You can sign up, and I will post the link in the chat room. It's a pretty big link, so I didn't want to say it online, but reservations are required, and it's going to be talking about things like Dr. Helen, Nabe, and Lady Bettina, and Cockroach Row, Jolly Warner, and some other fascinating stories about downtown Indianapolis, and that's going to be something to do after the meet and greet. Awesome. So when everybody's all charged for ghost hunting,
touring
they
Naptown.
Can go do that
Very
ghost
good.
Walk.
Very good. And go ahead, Chance. What do you got going on this week as far as your show? Anything special?
Actually, this Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/nightraven, I'm going to be hosting Paradigm Radio with my two co-hosts, Dion and Kara, and we are doing a free-for-all bash. If anybody can call in and talk about anything paranormal.
Oh, free-for-all.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Look out. And on CPR...
You wind up being a little fun sometimes.
And on CPR this week, we have Darren Lamontagne. I'm not sure I pronounced that right, but we'll have him correct us on Sunday. He is the author of The Pearly Gates. So... got an author coming on. Should be interesting. If you missed last night's show with Chris Dedman, the archives are up on Podomatic. I know PC has all her shows uploaded on Podomatic as well. So anytime you miss a show, they're always available. Am I right?
Most definitely.
That's true. And I just also want to put one last thing out. Don't forget to listen to South Indy Paranormal tonight. And I put a link again for Blog Talk Radio, and that'll be on tonight. And I'll be on talking about the meet and greet.
Awesome. I'm going to have to grab that archive in the next couple of days and see how you did. We can critique you the next time you come on.
Oh, great.
Well, we're nearing the top of the hour, so I don't know what else we have to cover. If anybody doesn't have anything, I guess we'll get ready to kick it off. PC, you have any last final words?
Final words? You don't say that to somebody who just took a header down a step.
There you go.
I'm good, Mike. Thanks.
Hopefully you not too bruised up and get around okay and shake that off here before long. Danny, anything for you?
No, nope, that's
it. Any final words? Chance?
No, just thank you for letting me be on today, and I made a short to be with you.
All right, absolutely. So thanks, we appreciate everyone that listened, and the archives will be up here in a little bit on Podomatic as well. That's gmp.podomatic.com, and we will be back, of course, Wednesday. Hopefully, I guess we're going to lose Greg before long. Now, PC, before we close, did you know that?
Lose Greg.
On the morning show.
Yeah.
He is being pulled back into the office, so he won't get the luxury of working from home any longer. So on Fridays, I'm going to be looking for someone new. So, Danny, we may have to talk.
Okay.
Literally. All right. So with that, I guess we will say until Wednesday. I hope everyone has a great week and enjoyed their time with us here on Monday, and we will see you on Wednesday. Goodbye, everyone.
You've been listening to Good Morning Paranormal, powered by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And remember, you can hang out here with different show hosts from the ASPRN Network for Good Morning Paranormal every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.